there during the week, and this is abortion. And whether you know it or not, People For Profit has defeated the government in a doll vote calling for wider access to abortion after the coalition TDs were given a free vote. The vote, by the way, last night was 74 to 61. And to give us the implications, or tell us what the implications of that is, Eilish Mulroy, who is a spokesperson for Pro-Life Campaign, joins me on the line. Eilish, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Noel. Thanks for having me on the programme.
Eilish, we spoke to you last week. We talked about the potential of this amendment happening. We didn't think it was going to happen so easily and so quickly. Last night, 74 to 61 votes. In the second stage, it now goes to the Oireachtas. This could become law before the end of the year. What does it mean for abortion and for pro-life? What does it mean?
Well, I think it's obviously very disappointing. This is, just to be clear about it, it's a private member's bill. So it's a private member's bill from five members of the Oireachtas. So it's very unusual what happened last night. The bill proceeded. So the bill is as you say, it calls for a wide-ranging abortion effectively up until birth. It calls for the abolition of the three-day wait period that we've talked about on the programme before. It calls for more abortion on the grounds of fatal abnormality. So it's a widening across the board. A bill like that from a private member's bill normally wouldn't proceed, especially in the current context where the government has its own process happening with the abortion, with the three-year review of the abortion law. And what happened last night, I mean, through a series of events, the government's amending a motion, which would have delayed the consideration of this bill for a year, was defeated. And I think that would have come as a surprise to many. I mean, the chances of this bill and has been kind of acknowledged in some of the reporting in the national newspapers today. The chances of this bill actually passing at final stage are slim, because we have the government will be potentially introducing some proposals based on the outcomes of the three-year review. But it certainly is very disappointing, and I think that many voters, that it got as far as it did last night, and I think many people who voted for yes on the abortion legislation or the abortion referendum certainly wouldn't have expected a bill this extreme to get passed by members of the Dáil.
Well, it was voted for in favour of by all the Green Party members, People For Profit, with the exception of the party leader, Eamon Ryan, who chose to abstain. Obviously, other ministers chose to abstain as well in relation to it. But for this term, fetal viability, this is the one that kind of concerns most people. To you, what is the definition of fetal viability?
Well, the whole thing is around the definition in the Act of fetal abnormality. You can't. It's very difficult for any doctor. It's impossible, in fact, to diagnose and make a prognosis. An accurate prognosis on how long a baby will live. So the current legislation allows where two doctors are of the opinion that a baby won't live for more than 28 days after the baby is born, that abortion should be allowed up until birth in that situation. The bill that was voted on last night would extend that period to much longer.
It's an undefinable period. I thought it was undefinable. I mean, from what I was led to believe, it's an undefinable period. Also, what will it do to the 12 weeks? Bill recommends extending that 12-week period.
That's right. Well, the reality is that they want to extend the limits, but seek decriminalisation of abortion, which effectively, if you decriminalise abortion and you have no criminal sanction in the law, which is what this bill is calling for, that means that if there's no criminal sanction, that means abortion is going to be available up until birth, because there is no criminal sanction against it. So it's a really deeply concerning situation that it has gotten so far.
But the criminal sanction aspect of it is, well, according to some doctors, that they seem unclear. Now, we had this before we had the abortion legislation and the referendum. The doctors seemed unclear. I'm unsure of why they're professionals if they seem unclear. But however, the doctors seem unclear that if it's 13 weeks, for example, and they got it wrong, or the scan wasn't right and it was 13 weeks, that they potentially could be criminalised up to 14 years in jail. Or indeed, if the viability was different to what they predicted, that they could spend 14 years in jail. And doctors say they don't want to take that chance, so they need to have that removed. Do you accept any part of that?
But if you look at abortion laws around the world, there's always criminal sanctions. It's very seldom you would hear of a doctor being sanctioned under the abortion law. I mean, in the British law, you have criminal sanctions, and you still have over 200,000 abortions every year. So this is not, you know, I think that sometimes the impression is given that doctors will be thrown into jail. That's certainly not the case. And decriminalisation simply means, without sanction, that you're leaving a situation where people can carry out abortions up until 9 months of pregnancy. And that's what the authors, and it's really important that people realise that the authors of this bill do not believe in any gestational limits. And many of the people who are calling for abortion, and many, even in the Health Committee hearings yesterday around the abortion review, you have an awful lot of people who do not believe in gestational limits. And when people voted for the Eighth Amendment to be repealed, they certainly did not vote for babies to be aborted up to 9 months of pregnancy. And that's why...
But they did vote for that. That's what they voted for.
They voted
to repeal the Eighth Amendment. I mean, this is what blows my mind every single time. And I remember discussing this after the Eighth Amendment was repealed with people who come on the air, and I asked them, you know, did you vote yes or no? And they said, oh, well, yeah, I voted yes, you know, provided it's only up to 12 weeks and it's only in certain cases of rape or fetal abnormality. And I said, but that's not what you voted for. What you voted for was to repeal the Eighth Amendment, to remove it from the Constitution, and then it's up to any government of the day to change those rules as they see fit. So essentially, people, as far as I can see, if they didn't want abortion after 12 weeks and didn't want, you know, the decriminalisation of doctors and didn't want all of these amendments, well, then they were duped.
Well, you're right that people voted for it. And that's why during the campaign before the referendum to repeal the Eighth Amendment, the people who were advocating a no vote were saying these kind of things will happen. I mean, we said the abortion numbers would rise massively.
And they did.
And that was dismissed by the Yes campaign at the time. But at the same time, you have to remember that, you know, people are entitled to trust their politicians, and voters were given assurances from senior members of the government, senior ministers on safeguards like the 3-day wait period. I remember the journal.ie did a fact check to disprove claims from the
journal.ie have done a fact check on me 3 times at this stage, and all 3 times I stand by everything I said, and even the conclusion of those fact checks was what I said was actually factually correct, but they just didn't like me anyway.
The reality is that we need to have a discussion around how the media treats this issue. Certainly the media covered even in the last couple of days. But, you know, the reality is that voters were entitled to trust politicians, and it's about accountability.
But why am I hearing it in the media? Why, you know, why is it not constantly on the media over the last 3 or 4 days when we had a vote last night on it, you know, so people could lobby their local politicians, et cetera, et cetera. And we are going to have another vote on it, obviously, as well. It will have to go to the Oireachtas, and it has to go to a third stage. But, I mean, realistically, if it's voted for, it could be in before the end of the year, depending on the president and when he's willing to sign it. So realistically, why aren't we talking about it more in the media? Why aren't people being made aware of what is actually happening? It's almost like it's happening under the cloak of night.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, the vote last night came up very quickly. Again, the private member's bill likely won't ever come to fruition. But of more concern is what happened at the Health Committee yesterday, and some of the government's, what the Health Committee were proposing, which are very extreme recommendations. But I think that the biggest thing is that all of this is going to really prompt people to rethink their stance on the issue. And many, many yes voters already are expressing, I even saw fairly high profile people on Twitter saying, this isn't what I voted for. I never thought this was going to happen and that it would become this extreme. So I think that, you know.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry for being smart and interrupting, but I don't feel sorry for them. Because they were told that at the start, everybody who voted yes, and some voted yes for their own reasons, and that's fine. But those who were in the middle, who were sitting on the fences and were convinced to vote yes because of certain conditions and criteria, the red herrings, as some people call them, and they went and voted yes, they've no one to blame but themselves, because that's exactly what they were told. I mean, they should have known. I mean, it's up to yourself. When we have a referendum in this country, it's up to you to educate yourself on that. And, you know, there's debates on TV or whatever else. Some of those debates, I believe, are very one-sided, but however, they were on TV and everything. So you voted to remove the Eighth Amendment, to repeal the Eighth Amendment. You voted for nothing else. So whatever happens after that is your own fault. And I don't mean that to you, by the way.
Well, I mean, I agree with you to a certain extent, but at the same time, you can't expect everyone to be able to inform themselves on every aspect. I mean, it's a responsible thing to do, but you can't expect everybody to have the time or the capacity to do that. And that's why they should be able to rely on assurances that are given to them from politicians. Like, we've had nearly 30,000 abortions in the first 4 years of this abortion law, when politicians during the debates and on television and on media debates said, dismissed claims that the abortion numbers would rise. In all of the discussion of the last few days, I haven't heard one politician who's looking for these extreme abortion laws talk about supports for women in unplanned pregnancy and looking after people and trying to help people and, you know, ensure women aren't coerced into abortion and, you know, those kind of proposals.
How many women are actually going to the UK? But according to Paul Murphy's crew who were standing outside the Dáil the other day, there was a numerous amount of women who are still going to the United Kingdom because they're not within the 12-week period. Do we have numbers for how many women are deciding to have an abortion after that 12-week period and still travelling to the UK?
Yeah, we have numbers for the first 3 years of the abortion law. So we have numbers from 2019 to 2021. And in that period, there was 775 women who travelled to the UK, to Britain, rather. That could also be, a lot of those abortions are abortions. As Professor Fergal Malone told us, the Master of Hollow Street, 95% of people, a large percentage who have diagnosis of Down syndrome in the womb are travelling to Britain. On their doctors, the anecdotal evidence is that often doctors would suggest to people that they can travel to England for those kind of abortions. So I think when we hear about women travelling, we have to also remember that a lot of the time that's babies with disabilities. And I really don't think that's something that we should be condoning.
No, absolutely not. But listen, we shall keep an eye on it. And I appreciate you coming on the air and talking to us today and give us a bit of an update. Eilish Mulroy is a spokesperson for Pro-Life Campaign. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, man.